Good morning and happy Mother's Day to everybody. This is a wonderful day. What would we do without mothers? Well, this day is to honor moms and mothers and ladies in general, all of you, mother or not. Mothers have the most complex jobs in the world. Don't they? Yeah. This man knows. He's a believer. Are you a believer? Yes. You know, dads have trouble doing one job at a time. Mothers can handle multiple jobs. And I was going to list them all, but we'd be here all day. But it's a wonderful day today, and I pray that there's all multiple feelings about Mother's Day. I know that, and our feelings and our thoughts today. So stay on the positive side today, the good things, the good memories. Well, Dad was trying to explain to his four-year-old about the family, and he got out his wedding album, and he showed his son the wedding pictures. Dad says, "Do you have any questions about our wedding?" Well, the boy said, "Yeah, these are your wedding pictures?" He said, "Yeah." And Dad said, "Yeah. Well, Dad, is that the day that Mother came to work for us?" You ladies can you can relate to that, can't you? I think. Well, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we're going to look at chapter 3 and verses 1 through 15. If you would, please stand for God's word as we read the word this morning. Honor his word. Very familiar passage of scripture here from King Solomon. But it says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past." Let's pray together. Oh, Father God, today, thank you, Lord, for mothers, godly mothers, so thankful, who weep over their children, who rejoice over the good things in their children's lives. Lord, we thank you. How special women in general are. You knew when you made woman how much we needed that touch in our lives. Broken men need healthy women. Thank you, Lord, this day. Bless us as we look into your word today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we want to honor moms today and women in general, but before we do that, get into Ecclesiastes in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul says this, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them," let who? "The children first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents." Don't you like this verse? Parents, "and repay your parents, for this is good and acceptable before God." How could children ever repay their parents? Boy, that would be hard to do, wouldn't it? How could we ever repay our parents? We can't. Maybe that's why a Spanish proverb says this, "An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy." That's a 16-to-1 ratio. Lord, help me. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Men are what their mothers make them." As a pastor, I know the emotion of this day for many of you. For some of you, would love to be a mother. And for some reason we don't understand, God has not chosen that for you. And I know I have very special friends that I've pondered over this for years. For some of you, it's the first Mother's Day without your mom. Some of you mothers have lost a child. Today has mixed emotions for you. There are some here that have wayward child, and there's pain associated with this day. And then there are those of you that are single moms. And Sharon and I have a heart for singles. We started out in our ministry young with singles ministry in several different churches. We had our own little church down in Florida. We had 86 singles in our class, our Sunday school class, 35 to 45 year old. And all the guys were there looking for girls. That was a hard time. I had to erase all the phone numbers of all the women. Wouldn't give it up. I said, "Nobody, you know, can't hand that out. Nope." All moms are likely to be looking for more time in the day because of those extra hours that are needed. Moms need every minute of the day, and there's not enough minutes some days to take care of all the needs that we have in the family. And we live in a nation that has more high-tech time savers than any other nation. Yet we complain more about lack of time than anyone. As I speak right now here this morning, guess what? There are humanoid robots being built. It's not Sunday everywhere. There are places that are making humanoid robots. They will never replace mom. Today, in looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I want to talk to you about the time that becomes unmanageable. The inconveniences, the illnesses, the delays, the diseases, and even death. The things that you need to remember as God asks you as a mom to focus on having time for the most important things in your life. Time for your faith. Time for your family. Time for your friends. And time for your future. I want us to look briefly this morning at four things that Solomon gives us for a wise use of our time. He says, you have times of conflict. He tells us at times, and then he tells us what we ought to do with those times. And first he says, in times of conflict, you need to accept this fact. In verses 1 through 8, he gives us 28 times of life. And it's a cross-section of your life that is made up of contrast and conflict. He says in verse 1, that God has purpose for all that happens in our lives. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. So he starts off with two things that are uncontrollable. You can't control when you were born. You can't control whether you die. My wife has always wanted to be born in the Victorian days. She missed her time. She loves tea parties. She loves old things. That's why she loves me. You say, no, no, Pastor, you can control death. You misunderstood. You may have something to do with when you die, but you have nothing to do with whether you die. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says this, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and you have no control over that." He starts off with two areas of our life that we can't control: birth and death. In verse 2, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time for dance. Do you know that's in the King James Version of the Bible? Baptists just have a hard time saying that word. Do you know what it really means? I looked it up. To leap with regularity of motion. The Greek word is orchio, O-R-C-H-E-O. And it's found four times in the New Testament. What is he talking about? He's talking about uncontrollable things that are contrasting in our lives. The unmanageable. What he's saying is this, that are times in your life that things are good, and there are times in your life that things are bad and they're negative. There's pain in life. There's pleasure in life. There are inconveniences in life. And our lives are like a roller coaster, something up and down and up and down. I go to the hospital and I find out some bad news. No, it can't be, my dear friend. Life is up and down. Look at verse 5. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. I hear her laugh. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. There are people who are like pack rats. They don't throw anything away. I know that's me. Then there are those who like to cast away. Sharon, where's my stuff? You threw my stuff away? You didn't. Oh. A time to tear apart and a time to sow. My wife loves to sow. She even loves to sow seeds. She does a lot of sowing, but this week she was sowing a lot of seeds. I'm all excited about it. You'll have to come by my house and see what she grows this year or this spring. In the Old Testament, when people were grieved, they tore their clothes. There's a time for silence and there's a time to speak. I know some people that really need to study this verse. Don't you? A time for silence. And a time to pray. A time to listen for God. To speak to you. Meditation. My wife has taught me a lot about meditation. For a pastor, you'd think I'd know a lot about it. But in my former pastor, I was so busy, it was so hard to get time to meditate. So I finally took Mondays and said, I don't want any phone calls. My secretary, no phone calls, unless it's an emergency. We need to slow down. We need to have some time to be with God. Spend some time with Jesus. I'm not talking about mystical meditation. I'm talking about meditating on Him and praying. A time for peace. Then there's also a time for war. Some nations want to take away the freedom of others. What is he saying? He says, I tell you what he is saying. There comes a time in your life that you have to accept the fact that there will be times of conflict. It's inevitable. But look at verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. You can't just take half of the verse. I didn't write this. God wrote this. I'm just the messenger this morning. God wrote it. I want to tell you something. Everything is not beautiful. Even if Ray Stevens said it. See, the original word there in the Bible is appropriate. Everything is appropriate. But it's all also everything becomes beautiful when God gets involved. There's a time element you can't control. Everything, Pastor, you mean everything? I didn't say it. God said it. He said everything. Does that mean financial loss? Does that mean being able to have children? Does it mean sickness? Does it mean death? Even death. I thought about this week. Even death. Yes, but it's only because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that death can become beautiful. That's the only reason. And this testing time we have here is so short, it's but a blip on the radar. We have all eternity to look forward to. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not an issue. God says everything. He means everything. But don't stop at half of the verse, because half of the verse is a whole lie. He says, in its time. He's saying that all things in your life, as one of God's children especially, are a part of something else. And you can't see the whole picture. And there's a big picture that you can't see. And only God can see. And that's the future. There are times of conflict and there are times of contrast. And he also says there are times of confusion. It's in times of confusion that you confirm your faith. Look at verse 11 again. One more time it says, he has put eternity in your heart. And that's the translation. He goes on to say, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. See the confusion here in these words. In other words, I need to trust God when I don't understand it all, when I can't see any reason for what's happening in my life. I must trust God. The Living Translation here says, I think it's kind of neat what it says. He says, he has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. God says, he has put eternity in our hearts. What does that mean? You have an inborn desire to know the future. Don't you want to know what's coming next? You have an inborn desire to understand your existence. There's something inside of you that wants to hope for immortality, eternal life. Isn't that true? Don't you think about it? Even as a child, sometimes we were amazed trying to think about that when you heard the preacher preaching. And that's the way God created us. That is what makes us different. All the rest of God's creation, we're different than the rest of creation. We're different than the animals. See, your dog doesn't care about retirement. He or she's already retired. Dogs, they don't have eternity in their hearts. We have a desire to think about the future, to want to see what is out ahead of us. And he says in verse 11, but who can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the very end? He's saying that you can't comprehend all that God is doing. Only he knows the beginning from the end. We only have the past. We have the present. It's like an ant trying to figure out brain surgery. The question is, will your faith stand the test? God, you see the finished product. And all I see is this painful process that I'm going through. God, all I see is the dirty, crumpled up cocoon. And what you see, the butterfly. Everything is not beautiful. Some things are downright ugly. Until God enters his time. As long as all you see is the external and miss the internal, as long as you see only the wrapping paper and not the gift. As long as you see it just the here and now, and you don't see the end, you will not affirm your faith. You will despise your faith. When life gets confusing as a mom, as a child, you have to say, "You are God, and I am not. I must trust in you." Do you remember when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet in John chapter 13 and verse 7? He says something very powerful. He said, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." You say, "Pastor, why did my son die?" I don't know. "Why did my mom die?" I don't know. "Pastor, why can't we have children?" I don't know. God said, "After this, you will know." There is an after this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul talks about being at the point of death. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? So that we should not trust in ourselves. God tries to teach us that we're not in control. God says, "I am in control." Then he says in the last part of verse 9, "But in God which raises the dead, trust in him." That means if you have a loved one, a mother, that knew the Lord, they're in heaven right now. One day God will blow that trumpet. He'll have Gabriel blow that trumpet, and that old body will rise up out of the grave and in the new resurrection body. And there is an after this. And you will see, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see that mom, that godly mother that you had. There's an after death. There's an after cancer. There's an after this in your life. You must know in your heart that God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins. You have to know that. Tell me, if He did that for you, where's He going to shortchange you? Where's He going to let you down? Where's He going to disappoint you? There isn't a mom in here today, not a mom here, that wouldn't lay down their life for their child. Their child, not one. "Yes, Pastor, I'd do that for my kids." Not a mom here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus said that, "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to him that asks?" During the Holocaust, there was a family, Solomon Rosenberg's family. He had a wife and he had two children. They were arrested and they were taken to a concentration camp in a ghetto. And the rules were pretty simple. As long as you could work, you could live. When you couldn't work, you died. Well, Solomon Rosenberg thought about this, and he had his children, and he lost his parents first. They were there, and they didn't last very long because they were old, and they couldn't work very long. And he knew his youngest son he had was kind of sickly, and he would be next on the list. So he devised this plan, and he told the family, "Now, as soon as you're done, before we, you come and meet us in the square. And we want to meet together, and we're going to have prayer together." And they would meet, and they would pray, and they would thank God that they had one more day together as a family. Well, one day he came out to the square, and he looked around, and he couldn't see anybody. He couldn't find any of them. And all of a sudden he saw over in the corner, his son Josh, his oldest son, was there weeping, crying. He said, "Josh, tell me it isn't true. Tell me it isn't true. Where's mom? Where's mom?" "Dad, it is true. David couldn't work anymore. They started to take him away, and he was crying. And mom went and took his hand. He said, "Son, don't worry. Mama's with you." There isn't a mom here today that wouldn't give your life for your child. If you would do that for your children, how much more would God do that for you? For His children. In fact, he did it. He went to the cross for you. King Solomon said, there will be times of contrast in your life and times of confusion. You know what else he said? In verses 12 and 13, he said this, there will be times of contentment. And he says, when these times of contentment come, you should appreciate the very fullness of that contentment. Look at verse 12 and 13. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. What is he saying? Use your life to its fullest. You have today. For you moms, you have today. It's Mother's Day. Enjoy the day. Also to do good to others. Verse 13 says, then that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. Why? God gave you a gift, 168 hours a week. You may only have today. You don't know how long that gift will be. Use it wisely. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. God tells us to do to others as we would have to ourselves. Ephesians 2:10 says this, we studied not long ago, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He made us His children to do good works, not to get saved, but because we are saved. I have known grief. Maybe I haven't known as much as many of you. But there comes a time that grieving has to end. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. There's a verse in James, and there's actually a verse in about 10 other places in the Bible that says something like this. You do what you can today, and there's no better time to do it. Write that card. Make that call. We are always going to do this and that for one another. And then one day, time runs out. Pastor, I'm going to help the homeless. When? Well, when? Pastor, when the time is right, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Well, when? Pastor, if I only had one more chance to tell my mother how much I loved her. But that time has passed. When I die, don't send me a letter of encouragement. Do it now. You know, I just thought about that. I have a folder in my office, in my home, and I have some encouragement cards. I keep my cards. And just when I get low, I go up there and reread those cards. You know, there's always someone that wants to encourage people. Somebody said, do you do your giving while you're living? Then you'll know where it's going. What is Solomon saying? He says, right now you have been given this precious gift of time. And use it wisely. Time, the gift of God. Time is more precious than money. You can always make more money, but you can't make more time. It's precious. When it's gone, it's gone. And Solomon is saying there will always be time of contrast. And you have to accept the fact that there's times of confusion that are coming, and there will become a time of contentment that's coming. But lastly, there's a time of confession. He says in verse 15, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says almost the same thing. It says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Someday God is going to ask you to tell him, what did you do with the time that I gave you? Let me ask you, how content are you this morning? What do you do for others with your time? But the most important question he will ask is this, what did you do with my son? What did you do with Jesus, my son? And you will give an account of how you spent your time. And that's why the Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. So ask yourself the question, what can I learn from this moment in time today? Can I help anyone else in this moment that I have? Am I content about what God is going to do in my life at this moment? And God, how can I trust you for this time and this place I'm in right now? God says today, Mom, Dad, you better take time for your family. You better take time for your friends. But the priority number one is you better take time for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For it is with the heart is how you get saved. It's faith. It's believing in your heart. It's a heart relationship. Please stand with me. Moms, I hope you have a wonderful day. The rest of this day. I hope that we'll take more quiet time with the Lord this week. I pray that we'll think about what time we have left and use it wisely. Amen. If you come.